Lord, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you alone, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, having the power on your side, knowing that you're on the right team, can really make all the difference in the world. That's true spiritually, and that's going to be a theme for my message here this morning. In 1532, the Spanish explorer Francisco Pizarro showed up on the continent of South America to the country that we call today Peru. With Pizarro were 168 Spanish troops. With Pizarro and the Spanish troops were some important items: guns, steel, and weapons. And in an epic battle, Pizarro and the Spanish troops took on 8,000 armed Incan Indians. How do you think that battle turned out? 169 to 8,000. I know we have historians here, you probably know how that turned out. Pizarro and the Spanish troops won. Why? Power. Power was on their side. Horses, guns, and weapons. Well, we're not living in 1532, I know that. But the same principle applies today. If you're on the team with the power, it's likely you're going to win. I can testify to this because I went to a kindergartner first grade basketball game about a week and a half ago. And they were choosing teams, and even the kindergartners realized this principle to be true. Some of the boys wanted to be on that team with the tallest kid on it. Makes sense. Some of the boys wanted to be on the team with the best shooter, that kid that can shoot out just an extra 10 feet. That's a skill that not all of them have. Some of the kids wanted to be with the kid that could dribble the fastest. And then there were some kids who just wanted to be on the team with the kid with the coolest t-shirt. Somehow that just had extra power. Yeah. Why did they do that? Because even kindergartners and first graders realize you got to be on the team with the most power. Life is throwing us curveballs in our own lives. No different than any other time period. There are struggles, there are difficulties, there are anxieties on the hearts of our people here at Peace. I know that, and any congregation, that's for sure. And what's critical, what helps us, actually, is to pause and just think about, are we on the team that has the most power? Because if you are, you're going to be okay. This Lent, we are unpacking the lives of people that were around Jesus in encounters with him on the way to Jerusalem. And that's a funny thing to do for Lutherans. Usually we focus on Jesus alone, but I believe that by focusing on the people that were around him, we're really getting a new look, maybe a fresh take. Maybe you've never heard a sermon on this particular person today. Today, we're taking a look at Malchus. Who was this Malchus? Malchus was a part of the crowd that went and arrested Jesus. Malchus is the guy that had the Vincent van Gogh thing happen to him. He had his ear cut off by Simon Peter. Now, I imagine Malchus, when he was calculating how things were going for him here in the Garden of Gethsemane, it doesn't say it here in the text, but it's the Garden of Gethsemane. This was where private gardens were kept. The wealthy in Jerusalem didn't build gardens in their own plot. They bought territory in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where they cultivated their flowers. I believe Malchus thought that he was on the side of power. Now, this is just shocking. In my study here, it really caught me. Did you catch the crowd that was going to arrest Jesus? Here's some details about that. It says in John chapter 18 that Judas gathered together a band of soldiers. Now, the term in the Greek for band is a very specific word, spira in the Greek. Some translations will call it a cohort of soldiers. Guess how big of a cohort this was? It has a very specific meaning. 600. 600 soldiers went to capture our Lord Jesus Christ. Along with those soldiers, some officers who were connected to the high priest came. Now, when you think of these people, the officers that came, a part of this crowd, these would have been the security officials at the temple, kind of like what you see at Beaver Stadium, Research Stadium. These were the policemen that were at the temple. There always had to be two of them at the temple at every single moment, but there were probably 40 or 50 of these people that were in the crowd. And then there were the Pharisees also. They were mixed in with this crowd coming to arrest Jesus. Now let me just give some commentary about what's happening here. This crowd that was capturing Jesus was not only Gentile, that was the soldiers, but also Jewish. That describes the officers and the Pharisees. This crowd represented this army that went to capture our Lord Jesus Christ. Represented the country at large, represented local jurisdiction, police officers. It also represented the religious establishment of the day, the Pharisees. Wow, over 600 and let's say 700 people going to capture one person. This would be like the Supreme Court, the Congress, and the FBI, and a number of religious officials going after one person in our country. Wow. Is that surprising to you? I know it shocked me. Here's the deal. Malchus was with that crowd, and he must have thought that he was on the side of power. And he must have felt at least comforted that numbers were on his side. Now, let's pause for a moment and consider Peter, because I think Peter's on the other end of the spectrum. Peter was thinking that he was on the losing side, perhaps, that power wasn't on his side. And so Peter strikes out to take control. The person that he was on the side with was, of course, Jesus. And against Jesus were 650 people. I don't know. I don't like those odds. Do you like those odds? One on 650? Did you arrive today at church feeling like Peter? What I mean by that is this. Are you feeling powerless with what's happening in your life? Outnumbered, drained. It could be you receive tough news. Every week we have it at Peace. News that is just overwhelming and you can't take it on. It could be that you're just hanging on day by day. Someone said this week, I can only live one day at a time. That's all I can do. And just thinking about the next day is too overwhelming, and you're just sinking a little lower as days go on. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Or it could be the bank account. The more you look at the bank account, the more overwhelming you feel, and you feel outnumbered. Or it could be an addiction that nobody knows about here at church. Your past history and that addiction that you have is just so overwhelming that you just don't think you got enough strength inside to take it on. Are you there? All of us are there this week. Stressed. Now, from my experience as a pastor, whenever we feel outnumbered and powerless, we usually do two things. Two routes to go, typically. One is to give up. To give in. Are you there? If you feel like giving up, don't. Seek a friend out today at church. Email pastor. Don't give up. But then as a pastor, I think we go to another extreme that also is not very healthy. And that is, we oftentimes take control. And we try to become powerful ourselves. By the way, that's what Peter's doing. When he sees the numbers are so great, he goes to the sword and he pulls it out and he chops the ear of Malchus off.